of Sega Sigoli on E, and welcome to Compelling Conversations. I'm your host, David Moses. You're listening to CKRZ 100.3 FM, the voice of the Grand, right here in the village of Ashwegan. And it is a pleasure to welcome back to the show. I have with me January Rogers, and she is here as the Taranto Music Festival promotional assistant. And it's a pleasure to have her here to talk about it. Now, I also thought that we were going to have Ian Miracle joining us, but apparently he's off doing another one as well. So, Janet, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Nyawe. Yes, so I'm here in the capacity of the Taranto Music Festival 2023 Promotions and Marketing Assistant. And that means I'm helping to kind of spread the word about this festival, which has kind of come back after COVID. You know, I'm pretty sure, hopefully in a couple of years, we won't even be mentioning that word anymore. But this is a big deal because it's live concert stages. And we're talking about 4 evenings of live concert stages in the month of June, June 21st to the 24th, to celebrate National Indigenous Peoples Month in June. So this is the festival itself is actually the child, if you will, of the 50-50 Artist Collective. And that's a collective of Indigenous, mostly Haudenosaunee, but also some Anishinaabe individuals, cultural workers, if you will, who got together and decided, hey, we really love what's happening in the Native music scene, and we want to play a part in promoting the artists and also creating opportunities and festivals at different venues where these artists can be celebrated. And that's exactly what this festival is all about. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm really happy to hear about when you said celebrating Indigenous Month.
Right.
One, that's great to hear, but also the fact that this is, like you said, over 4 days, because in the past, and especially I think last year, it was crazy because it was all on one day.
Right.
And so many artists were double booked, triple booked. They were trying to get different places. It all and I know I mentioned it along with other people is, why does it all have to be happening on one day?
Yeah.
Spread it out. So one, it's easier. People get a chance to see more artists. Yeah. And just celebrate more often.
I mean, it's, I always call, you know, the Indigenous, National Indigenous Peoples Day, the day when everybody gets hyper-employed. And I know I am. Like, I'm going to be running around a little bit too, because I'm also an artist. But to be able to have this opportunity, and again, you know, just accessing the fundings and cultivating those partnerships with the sponsors is a really important part of this. It creates that ecosystem that supports a healthy Indigenous music scene. And I would say, you know, being in Taranto, we're a bit of an epicenter. And so we do have access to people who represent the nations that are not necessarily from that center, but who have made Taranto their home. And so you have this diversity represented in terms of nations that are going to be at this festival. And that's a really important thing too, so that, you know, those non-native people who are attending the festival don't get stuck in the idea that, oh, everybody in this area is Anishinaabe. You know, and everybody, all the native people are Anishinaabe, or, you know, one nation represented here. So we have that kind of like great benefit, if you will, you know, being in an urban center where there's a lot of people who have come and claimed, you know, Taranto as their home, second home, and practice their art from there.
Yeah. Sure. Now, it's over four days, as you mentioned, from the 21st to the 24th. Will it be live streamed as well, or?
I'm not sure if it's going to be live stream. If it will, they may announce that later in the game. Sure. I mean, it's not about ticket sales because everything is free. Eh?
Yeah.
So, and we do want to kind of create the opportunity to be able to see one another face to face, rub shoulders, you know, safely, consensually. And just to kind of like revisit that energy that a live concert, you know, provides, which cannot be beat. You can't duplicate that, you know.
I guess the thing is we're so used to, because of, you know, that word we wouldn't use COVID.
Exactly.
But we're used to seeing that element of things as well, the streaming element.
Yeah, totally. We're used to having that option. Yeah. And I know even I'm like, you know, I'm just so comfortable. I live here in Ashwegan, and I'm just so comfortable living here that it takes a lot to budge me off of this out of this community for events and things. So, you know, I find myself asking, oh, is it going to be live stream? For example, on the day that we're recording, David, if I may say, tonight is the Summer Solstice Indigenous Music Awards live at the National Arts Center. And again, that's all Indigenous artists, all Indigenous musicians produced and, you know, stage managed by Indigenous people, coordinated by the great Elaine Bomberry, who, you know, does her best to outreach and include all of the adjudicators are Native and so on and so forth. So, you know, this is an exciting time. It continues to be an exciting time, even though we have seen some of those music award shows drop off for whatever reason. We still have those mainstays. And again, the concerts, the live concert opportunities really feed into that as well. Because I know myself, I'll say, for example, Julian Taylor, you know, a great, you know, great fan favorite. Yeah. People love Julian Taylor from Ganawagi.
Yeah.
He's
my buddy from Element FM. He and I did a show
together. There you go. You know, I thought, oh, yeah, okay, keep seeing his name around, you know, and like, you know, not really being familiar with his music and everything like that. And it's just like, okay, yeah, okay, this guy has a presence and good for him. And, you know, because he's, you know, his Ganigahaga brother. And and then I went to see him live at the Dundas Square. And I was a fan immediately. I thought, oh, this guy's got the goods, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like a wonderful, like a memorable, it creates a memory for you, you know, when you have that live concert experience.
For sure.
So, and then, so now I'm like, yay, I'm like Team Julian Taylor, right? and just to let everybody know, he's performing on the 23rd at the Degaranto Music Festival, as well as a great lineup of folks.
Yeah. So can we go through a little bit of the lineup, first of all, and is it all happening at one location?
Yes and no, but mostly yes.
Okay.
The mostly yes refers to the stacked marketplace in Toronto at 28 Bathurst Street. And this is a relatively new community location in the heart of Toronto, Bathurst and Front Street.
Okay.
And so it's right beside the where all the trains come in and out of the city. And so it's kind of got that excitement going for it. But what this is, I mean, it's called Stack Marketplace because the venue itself is made out of shipping containers stacked up together and stacked around in a configuration that creates these stage venues. So the short answer is yes. And then the longer answer to that is, all of the festival is taking place at Stacked Marketplace at a couple of different stages. So one of the stages is called the Horseshoe. And if you're an old Degaranto, you know, kick around the city Indian like me, when you hear, you know, Horseshoe in conjunction with Toronto, you're going to think, oh, it's down on Queen West.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Right.
So just keep that in mind.
Right.
One of the stages is called the Horseshoe. That's in that venue. And then the other stage is called the main stage, the Brewery main stage.
Okay.
So those are the two main areas where you're going to be. So if you get into the Stack Marketplace, you're not going to be too far off course finding the concerts.
No, I was there once. There's kind of like a courtyard, I think, where the stacked areas are surrounding. So I guess the stage will be inside there somewhere?
Well, you're one step ahead of me. I haven't been yet, so I don't know. But I've seen the layout.
Okay.
And on top of those stages, there's kind of like indoor spaces that surround the One Horseshoe stage, which is where the workshops are going to be taking place. So there's a whole Saturday of Indigenous workshops taking place too. Again, free.
So I'm glad you said you haven't been there, and that's the other reason for going. It's such a cool area. It's such a cool space to see. If you haven't seen anything like this, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is for you to explore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to be cliche and, you know, borrow from an Ontario Place slogan, yours to consider, yours to explore. But I think that's going to be fun in and of itself to, you know, kind of see all the urban native community come out in one space and kind of taking over, if you will, in the most non-threatening way possible. I mean that, taking over that space and enjoying and celebrating and really supporting the native music scene.
Yeah. So what time do the events get underway?
On the On the Wednesday, which is actually June 21st, yep. which is Solstice Day, that show begins at 6 p.m., and then the other shows begin at 7. So they're pretty early, you know, shows, and I don't even think we're going to see the sunset by the time the shows are finished. So I mean, you know, as, you know, person who's turned 60 this year.
The longest day of the year isn't set till about 10:30 anyways.
Good point. That's a good point. But, you know, lots of time to schmooze and network and just, you know, kind of be in community after the fact and get a bite to eat, for heaven's sakes, you know, enjoy.
And support some of those Indigenous artists and culinary people that are going to be on set.
Absolutely. Yeah. And meet and greet.
Yep.
You know, this is how you kind of find your community, if not build upon, you know, a community that you already have. So, and that's what this day is and the festival really is all about. It's about the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's new this year because I guess it's multiple days.
Right.
It's also new because it's kind of the first time since that C word that we're not trying to use has limited us to be in public areas and gather. So this is the other thing about getting back together and what makes this year's event so special.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And if it's one thing that we can kind of confidently say about, you know, in general, the Native community, not to be, you know, kind of overarching, you know, generalized, but we love to see and be in community.
Right.
And so that's the really huge part of it. That's what's going to be different about this year.
And if you are, if your curiosity is piqued, you can go to the Dagaranto website.
Yep.
And music festival website where you can see the lineup. You can click on each of them to get more information. You'll see pictures of them as well. Yep. So if you're interested in that, but do you have a run of the artists off the top of your head?
I do. Well, I have it in front of me, so I'm going to read for you. I'm going to read that for you. So listen, like I said, the opening night is Wednesday, June 21st, and that's Solstice. And I love what they've curated for this evening because it's all about the traditional. Mm. So we've got traditional singers and dancers taking the stage. We have hosts Leslie McHugh and Lindsay Kinos, and they are a traditional dance couple, powwow dancers, and they're hosting. So along with this beautiful curated array of traditional dancers, you're going to get that knowledge sharing too, because these are people who are on this on the powwow circuit, and they'll be able to share a whole bunch of like whys and wherefores about the traditions of powwow dance.
That's great.
And then we've got Nimki Osawamik, who is actually a hoop dancer. Mm. And so he's based in Toronto area, if I'm not mistaken, if not north of Toronto. And he's going to take the stage. And again, you get a whole bunch of teachings with him as well, plus the spectacle that hoop dance is. Eh? It's just so joyous.
Wonderful.
And then not to forget our Métis cousins. They are Toronto Métis jiggers and dancers are going to take the stage. And of course, that's always really fun, very toe-tapping music and really uplifting high-energy dance. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple of sisters, Anika and Abigail, who are Inuit throat singers, and they're going to be taking the stage. They're based in Ottawa.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know them.
Yeah. Oh, do you know them? How do you know them, David?
Because of last year, Indigenous Day. They performed. I co-hosted the event at the square, Dundas Square.
Oh, okay.
I got to perform as well, but and they were one of the performers. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Great.
I love their story. I got to listen to them on a podcast, and their story is so interesting. They're both adoptees in the traditional Inuit way, but they're sisters, but I'm not sure how biological sisters they are. Their story is really interesting. How they've actually, and they're young women, they're. It's interesting how they've managed to kind of maintain their connection to culture, and then learn the Inuit throat singing, and then bring that out and kind of perpetuate the culture in that way as performers.
Yeah.
And so I just thought their story was so really interesting to hear. You know.
You know, speaking of that, what's interesting about Ottawa is that there is a fairly large Inuit population there.
Yeah. Is it, maybe it's the geographical connection, like how there's a route that goes directly?
Well, I think it's one of the main flight lines from Inuit or you know, up there to Ottawa.
Right. So yeah. That
and
makes
it's
sense.
The nation's capital, so
and
there
it's
makes
that
sense
too.
There,
yeah. Too. It's yeah. And anyway, so they're originally from Nunavut. That their cultural land base. That's their affiliation. And that's opening day. So
yeah.
Like wow.
Yeah.
You know. And then we've got moving into the second night, which is Thursday, June 22nd, which is Matriarch's Night. Now the Tagaranto Music Festival, 50/50 Arts Collective, really wanted to make a big deal about promoting Indigenous women's art practices.
Nice.
And they've done that on this day. What we have lined up, and this is at the Horseshoe, remember, not Queen West Horseshoe, but at the Stack Market, is Samaya Smith. Samaya's homegirl, you know,
yes,
she's Six Nations.
Yeah.
We've got Zoe Roy, who is going to MC that evening. And Zoe has got like tons of personality. She's a poet. She's also a recording poet.
Nice.
And working her poetry into music and stuff. Tons of fun, this girl.
Yeah.
Susan Aglukart, you may have heard of her.
Hmm.
Yeah, she's been around for a while. So she's coming in, you know, is really the matriarch's matriarch.
Yeah,
you
nice,
know, being
nice.
Inuit singer-songwriter herself and really, you know, has garnered some great acclaim as a singer-songwriter.
And, you know, she's also, like many artists, has branched out into becoming a speaker and sharing her story to help other people as well.
Absolutely. And good for her because, and I've heard, if anyone has heard her speak, that, you know, she's just very... very, very direct and very, you feel very inspired after hearing her speak.
Yeah.
So, Amanda Ruem.
Oh.
Do you know how to say their last name? Is it Ruem?
Ruem. Amanda Ruem.
Singer, songwriter, Métis, from representing Métis Nation. They're Toronto based.
Yep.
And so Amanda's joining that whole lineup. It's going to be, you know, amazing. Yeah. And then,
got to interview her a couple of times.
Okay, great. Well, and she's part of that label, the Ishkere, Native-owned and operated, women-led record label, Native, you know, which is no small feat.
Absolutely.
You know, and then she's out there doing her thing musically as well. And then there's a partner in this evening, the Matriarch's Evening, on June 22nd, and that is Wavelength Music Series. And they're sponsoring the performance by Leanne Simpson.
Mm.
And they're based in Toronto, and I'll just leave it at that. Everybody's on, you know, line, so look people up, take the initiative to look people up. And then we move on to the Friday night, June 23rd, and again, this is the evening where Julian Taylor's going to do his thing, so check him out.
You can find out more, I'm sure, by going to look it up and find out about it, where it's located. And, you know, if you can, get in to check out these great artists that are going to be performing over those 4 days in Toronto. And what was I going to say about that? Oh, yes. You're going to see the Stacked Marketplace, which I did have the opportunity to see once. It's a pretty cool area. As we were mentioning, it is stacked, basically, you know, those cargo containers. And it's built up on out of those things. So pretty cool area to visit. And you're going to get a chance to see some amazing Indigenous artists over those 4 days. And I really like the way January that you say it's laid out. They got Matriarch Day and the traditional day on the 21st as well. Wonderful, wonderful. Sounds like a great 4 days. So if you can, get in there to check it out. And as we said, it is the Tagaranto Music Festival happening from June 21st to the 24th. You can find out more by going to the website as well. Get a list of all the artists. And the roster of all the performers. You can click on them underneath their name to find out more about them if you're interested in that as well. So with that, I'm just going to say Nyawagoa to January for coming in and sharing this and giving us all this great information about the festival coming up on June 21st to the 24th in Toronto.
All free.
All free. Yeah, it's all free. Like, we did say that.
Free for the people.
All free. All right. January.
Nyawa.
Yeah, and thank you to you for listening to Compelling Conversations right here on CKRZ 100.3 FM. Until next time, I say Ona and Bama Pea.